Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of All's Caps with former Capitalist defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Dog days of August now, Carl. Not a whole lot going on with the Capitals. We'll go around the NHL today, talk about kind of what summers are like around the NHL. Next week on the show, Brian McNally from NBC Sports Washington. Have some other fun guests lined up the rest of the summer. We'll get into summer workouts and everything. But first of all, this time of year, August, right now, you can have some fun because you're not playing. When you were playing, what was this time of year like in terms of kind of, A, just training, but also getting your family and everyone kind of settled for a season?
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting month because, so actually I was just at Kettler or MedStar, this morning and Tuesday morning on the ice with a couple guys that are in town. And so it's an interesting part of the summer because depending on where you are, your skates are either really starting to pick up or you want to skate and there's just not that many options. So like, for example, here in DC, there's maybe four or five guys that come out and skate. You might get a couple of college players that'll come out and you're just trying to feel the ice again, right? You got probably some new gear that you're trying to break in, and you just want to feel the puck and feel the ice and try and remember what it's like to skate, because it's, you know, even though this is second nature for all the players, it still takes a second, right? Your timing and this and that. So you're using typically the end of July, beginning of August is just to start feeling good on the ice. You don't really want to ramp anything up right now. There's no point. You still have a month and a half left until training camp. So you're trying to build some muscle. You're working on all the strength training and stuff like that. And depending on the player, you know, you're in the gym five times a week and on the ice maybe two or three times a week. But yeah, it's a weird time of the year. I just was saying this on Tuesday, is that I like to, when I was 16 through probably 24, I'd be on the ice starting June 1st, like three times a week, and then July I'd be four times, sometimes five, and August would be usually five times every week. And then as you play a little bit longer, you start a little later and a little later and a little later, and then it becomes August 1st where you're finally stepping on the ice because you just need as much time off as you possibly can. So that's what's going on right now for most of these guys. They're continuing to kind of build on their weight room programs, and then adding in some of the more explosive stuff and getting into some plyos and all that, and speed work. And then on the ice, yeah, you're trying to survive, you're trying to feel like a hockey player again, because it goes away pretty fast.
It's fun hearing all the guys from like previous eras talk about how they would just show up to training camp to get in shape. These guys, like, it's always cool, like an Alan May or Craig Lochner and those guys talking about how training camp used to be guys like sweating out the summer. Now guys are sweating out the summer the entire time.
Absolutely. Well, it all depends too on when you're coming back to your city, right? So some guys, they're so strict with it, whether it's their program or just wanting to soak up every last day of summer, and they won't come back to their city until, you know, two or three days before camp starts. But when you have kids, your kids got to be in school, so you come back a little bit earlier and you get into the swing of things here. But yeah, some guys just, they want to take as much summer off as they possibly can to decompress and rest and all that stuff. And it is nice to come back to camp and use that, if you're confident enough in your position on the team, to use that as you get into on ice shape, right? Like you can still go out there and feel the puck on your own and do that kind of stuff. But you don't really want to bag yourself if you don't have to, and you want to use training camp to do that. But at the same time, everybody is pretty much in peak performance. You know, they're top shape from from 3 months of training pretty hard. So you don't really want to fall behind, but I don't know if it's true or not. I heard a legendary story that I think it was about Ryan Getzlaff. I want to say the year after they won the cup that he told the trainers that they packed up his gear or whatever. And he said, no, keep it. I'll see it when I get back for training camp. And then just didn't touch it all summer long. And you know, Getz is one of those guys that can afford to do that because he's just so damn skilled. Not many players can do that and be successful, but it doesn't happen very often anymore. I know that I would pick up my gear less and less as the years went on in the summertime, but everybody's kind of, it's personal. If you need to work on something, you get on the ice a little bit more. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm such a big believer in the mental side of the game, and you need to do a full reset in the summers with how long the season is. So I tried to be smart about it, especially as, like I said, when you get a little bit older in the league. But it's weird. I mean, it's a tough month, and it's so hot outside too. So you just try and you're just trying to do as much as you can.
Well, what were you doing at MedStar? Just getting in from the heat? Like, were you skating? Did you do men's league games?
Yeah, no, I was skating. Yeah, I had told Mark Nemish, the strength and conditioning coach, that if he needed another body, to let me know, because you know, I could always use the extra work just to try and stay in shape. And so yeah, I went out with who was out there, Hathaway and Eller, the first day, along with Nemo's son Kendall and Laviolette's son Peter Jr., I guess. And
Peter Jr. was at development camp.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just us five out the first day, and then Snively joined us today. So we had a good skate, just a little sweat. I think everybody pretty much is wearing new skates, and so anyone who knows what it's like to put on new skates, your crossovers aren't all that great, your strides aren't all that great. So we're all kind of slipping and sliding out there, but it was just a good skate, just to get kind of the legs going a little bit of a sweat, and then as soon as we were done, they all went to go work out, and I went to go do what retired people do. And so I was off after that, and hopefully get out another time or two, but we'll see how the schedule goes. It's just you don't really want to get in the way of their training and stuff, but it definitely seems, the fact that I was even allowed to go out on the ice seems like things are kind of loosening a little bit with all the restrictions they had with people around the rink and all that. So I think that's a good thing for fans and a good thing for the players and their family and friends that want to come around the rink a little bit more.
Yeah, it's been nice. I've been out at Commanders camp. My summer is going out to Commanders camp, which is a plug for listen to Locked On Commanders with John Keim, also on Empire Media. But those restrictions are gone from that. When we come back, I want to ask you actually more about those guys who are skating now at MedStar and kind of the ramp-up period. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on around the NHL, and Nazem Kadri, maybe to the New York Islanders, maybe already to the New York Islanders. We don't know. And later on, just chatting about kind of what is to come in the next few weeks, because it is this off season, but we do have some Capitals. Even the schedule coming out was exciting and all that stuff. We'll talk about that all next when we come back on All Caps.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Lost Caps, former Capitals defenseman Carl Alsner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Even Carl, even you bringing up Joe Snively's name reminded me that we forget about him so much. And Brian McClellan did so much in the offseason of adding Dylan Strome, adding Connor Brown, bringing back Marcus Johansson. But you're skating with Joe Snively. We got to see a little taste of what he could do last year. What do you make of this kid who's clearly, like, obviously a little undersized, but showed he can play in the NHL?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what his exact stats were, but he had like some like 7 points in 11 games or something like that last year. Like, you know, he made a pretty significant impact. Yeah, 7 points in 12 games. That's pretty impressive to do, especially as a guy who'd be considered undersized, 5'9". But just, that was my first real up close view of what he can do. And he's quick. He's got a good shot. He's good hands. For sure, the most impressive hands of us that were doing this little stick handling drill this morning. So it was really cool to see. And I like him. I like his game. I like that he's local as well. I think that's huge. I'm sure that the Caps would love to have someone like him, you know, in the lineup
for
the full season, just for that impact alone. I think that would be massive. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they did a lot of tinkering. And so if anything, I would think that he's got maybe a little bit of extra motivation to try and prove that they didn't need to bring in, you know, as many players, and, you know, he wants to slot in this role. So I was very impressed. And he's 26, I guess. So he's not like he's 21, but it's not often that a younger guy, using air quotes, kind of takes control of a practice. And that's what he was doing this morning, wanting to do these specific drills and you know, pretty good at kind of explaining what we should work on and stuff. And I thought that was kind of neat. It was impressive for would have been one of the younger people out there on the ice. So yeah, I think I mean, I would love to see him play full time and stay healthy. I think that would be amazing for this whole area.
Yeah, and he will be part of this team's future, because you could see even the moves now. Dylan Strome's on a 1-year deal. Connor Brown's on a 1-year deal. Marcus Johansson's on a 1-year deal. That even Connor Sherry only has a year left on his contract. That as soon as Brian McLeod and the organization want to kind of push into a youth movement, you've got Protas, you've got Snively, you've got McMichael, Hendricks LaPierre. Like, this could become a real young team real fast if they want it to be. But for now, you understand, even Lars Eller only has a year left on his contract. I like the approach, and I've talked to Capitals season ticket holder fans, of friends of mine, who weren't kind of sure of kind of what the offseason looked like, and they would have liked to see the younger kids play. I have no problem with loading up for a year and saying, let's go for this with as much as we can right now. You hope you get Nick back, and then Snively, Protas, all these guys become part of your future. Am I wrong here?
No, I think you're right. You kind of have to do that, right? Like, you can't. There's so many different ways to go about it. You can completely tear a team down and wait a bunch of years and hopefully they're good. But I kind of like being, you know, still being relatively competitive while developing some players, you know, giving them
overcooking players, right? Like guys who probably are ready, but you give them an extra year of development. The Capitals love doing that.
Yeah, exactly. You can eat something overcooked. You can't eat it undercooked. So you might as well let him stay in there for a little bit longer. So I don't have any issue with that. As a player, it's unfortunate when you get pushed back maybe an extra year because somebody else gets brought in. But in the end, it's probably not a bad thing. It hopefully is good for confidence. But yeah, I think that the prospect pool looks pretty solid, and you hope that these players can kind of blossom into not just everyday NHLers, but impacting NHLers. That's kind of what you're always hoping for. And I always go back to Pitt. Like, Pitt was able to find some players that could come in and out of nowhere, essentially, and be stars for their team and impact players right away. So yeah, you're hoping that you can find some of those as well. But I think that the Caps are in a pretty good position. And I think the team this year can be fairly competitive as long as, you know, I always go back to the goaltending. Goaltending pans out,
of course,
and is, you know, as good as it can be. I think that the team's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. Speaking of impact players, this is a Capitals podcast, but as we're recording this right now, Nazem Kadri still has not signed a contract that we know of. There's been all this rumor about the New York Islanders and all of that. And Lou Lamoriello, for as secretive as he is, he may have already signed Nazem Kadri and just isn't telling anyone yet. But would not be good news for the Capitals to have, for Lane Lambert to get Nazem Kadri, right?
Yeah, I mean, ideally you'd like to keep as many good players out of the division as possible, but it's just not realistic. And you know what? I'm not sure. I don't really know exactly how to describe Kadri, you know, and what the contract might be like. It's just a tough sample size, right? Like he's been a good player.
He's been a good player for a lot of years, right?
Yeah, but now he's trying to get into that great player category, right? And that to me needs a little bit more. I don't know. I think you need a little bit more of a resume than that. And so it's hard to say. But if the Islanders, you know, want him and you know, can fit him in there and think he's going to be that much of an impact for them, then it's a good play by them. But I don't know.
You sound skeptical.
Like everything that I do, it's a guess. Everything I say, it's a guess. But I don't think that he's going to be able to produce the same way that he did last year. You know, it just seems
it seems maybe a little bit far-fetched for that player.
To me, though, if he goes back to the Colorado Avalanche, who are losing our old friend Andrei Burakovsky, like he would fit in perfectly back there if they can make room for him, because he doesn't have to be a first-line player. He can be a second-line guy, complementary with the McKinnons, the Rantanens, and those kind of guys.
Oh, absolutely. That would be that would be number one spot to go, because they know what to expect out of you. The fans know what to expect out of you. For sure, less pressure. I think that would be the place to be. I'm surprised that hasn't been able to be worked out already. But they have so many good players there. Nichushkin, who kind of really was important for them this year too. So there's a lot of depth on that team, and I think he would fit in really nicely there. But it's so hard to go from one team as a second line guy or someone who's maybe complimentary, and then all of a sudden be the guy in a new city where fans don't really know you, and the staff might not know you quite as well. It's a really, really hard transition to make. So, you know, even if he does go to the island, I wouldn't be overly worried, but you know, it definitely poses a little bit more of a threat.
One more league thing. You did this in free agency, and you were fortunate to get the contract. John Klingberg did not get the long-term contract he was looking for. Any surprise there?
Yes and no. It's hard at a certain age, I think, for teams to want to give, you know, long-term deals. Some teams are willing to do it, and it just depends. You know, the market can all of a sudden collapse and you got nothing there. You know, we've seen it happen before where a player wants to wait just a little bit longer. The next thing you know, the whole market is gone. You know, there's just no more options, and teams don't want to do anything. They've put their wallet away and they're good. So it just seemed like it was almost one of those situations. But he can be a very, very good player.
And he's a deadline pickup right now. Like you could obviously see a scenario at the deadline where the Capitals are like, hey, we need another right shot defenseman, and all of a sudden you're making a trade to get somebody like that, or another contender like Pittsburgh or whatever, to get Klingberg at the deadline.
Absolutely, yeah. That is probably what's going to happen, right? Someone will do that. You know what we did with Shattenkirk that one year. It's most likely going to happen, I would assume. I think he's definitely a player that can make a major impact offensively. I don't know what he's like in the dressing room at all, but typically those Scandinavians are pretty solid people, so I could imagine that he would be nice to have on a team. Interesting. Tough to leave Texas with that tax bracket, but you know, he did what he had to do.
Yeah, 1 year, $7 million. Speaking of Scandinavian people, when we come back on All's Caps, we're going to talk about freshly married Nick Backstrom and also a little bit on the Juan Soto trade and what the Nationals look like that the Capitals don't look like several years after winning a championship. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alster. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Congratulations to Nicklas Backstrom, freshly married. Very small wedding, Carl, but a few of your old teammates were able to get there.
Yeah, some of them made the trip out, which is really nice to see. It's fun. It's fun when it's fun for everyone when you get to see the crew kind of get together and do stuff away from hockey, right? You get so few opportunities during the season to kind of let loose, and now with social media, everything gets documented, so you get to see. But I love when we get to see a little bit of the fun Nick Backstrom, right? See him hopping around there and dancing and stuff. And you know, I know a few people posted a couple of videos, and he's just, you know, he's just an awesome person. Lisa, his wife, is great. And you know, I'm very happy for them. And you know, it was sweet though. It's one of the hard things with weddings. Anyone who's had to plan a wedding is the guest list. You know, it's probably the hardest thing to do is figuring out who's going to come, who isn't going to come, where you draw the line. Are you going to have a destination wedding where that is going to eliminate a lot of people too? And so it was really nice to see that some teammates were able to make their way out there.
Everyone's talking about his hip looks good. Here's the thing, I know we've discussed the hip surgery for Nick, but even if he never gets a chance to play again, I'm glad he got the hip surgery for his quality of life, because you don't want him walking around at 45, 50 years old, not being able to kind of enjoy his life. So we all hope Nick can play again, but more than anything, I hope that surgery and everything gets rid of the pain for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. It's so hard to tell yourself that, you know, that you need to look in the future, because so many of us are so used to living, you know, like even just a month down the road, maybe a year, maybe a couple years, but to actually think about, you know, what 20 years is going to look like is hard for a lot of people. And, and we kind of abuse the bodies every now and then, thinking that it's just going to bounce back, and then all of a sudden one day it stops bouncing back, right? And so it's good for him to be able to do that, and you know, I'm hoping that he's tracking well to come back and at least give it a shot, and you know, get some more games in, and then maybe get back into it full time. But you know, I think that the expectations need to be somewhat low, and then hopefully he can surprise us all. But it was a good play, I think, to, you know, to think about the overall quality of life.
Yeah, and we do all hope he can play. But Nick signs a long-term contract. Alex has a long-term contract. John Carlson, long-term contract. In addition to Commanders, I was out at Nationals Park the other day for the Juan Soto trade, and it was just jarring to me that this is less than 3 years since the Nats won the World Series, and comparing to the Capitals, who in 18, sure, there are a handful of guys who have left since then, but the Capitals are still competitive, winning in a salary cap sport, which explains to me so much of how good Brian McClellan and this organization is at handling it compared to how much of a disaster the Nationals have been.
Yeah, isn't it crazy to think that the look is so different? And so it begs the question, do players not like playing in D.C.? Is there something going on with ownership? I know that there's been talks about the team being sold and all that stuff. It's so interesting to me how it can turn like that.
It doesn't help that it doesn't seem like ownership is willing to pay Nationals players the way that Ted Leonsis is willing to pay Capitals players.
Right, there's that. But then, you know, depending on if the team is actually going to be sold, can, you know, do you commit however many millions, $400 million or whatever, to a player and then
sure,
sell the team?
I mean, before this. I mean, even before Soto. I mean, even not being willing to pay Trey Turner a year ago or extend Max Scherzer, that sort of thing. The ownership question is legitimate. I just think a lot of mistakes have been made to get to this point.
Yeah, it's probably a good point. And who knows? Maybe there was already, you know, 1 foot out the door, and so that's why that stuff was
sure
the way it was. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, and that's what I was saying to you too. Like, imagine Ovi got let go when he was 23, 24 years old. How different DC would be as a hockey market and the team over the years, right? It's just such an interesting thought if it would have been done in hockey as well, because, you know, that's what Soto could have potentially done for this area. I know baseball's already big, but could have even taken it to the next level. I keep seeing all these things where people are asked, like, who in 3 years, who's going to be the best player in the league, and his name gets thrown out there a bunch. So, you know, it's tough to see a player of that caliber, you know, not be part of the organization. He sells tickets, right? People buy tickets to go and watch him play. And to not have that anymore is too bad.
I think it's also like a weird baseball and other sports kind of cultural thing compared to hockey, because Juan Soto wants to go to free agency. No matter what happens, he'll be 26, 27 years old, and he wants to cash out in free agency. Hockey guys, McDavid, as soon as he was done as his entry level, signed the longest contract possible. Alex signs a 13-year contract. You went to free agency and signed, a five-year deal? Like, it seems like hockey players want as much security, and in baseball and basketball specifically, guys want to bet on themselves over and over and over again. It's just kind of a different perspective.
Yeah, it really is, and I'm not sure if it's... I have no idea exactly what the reason is there, but it is all about security. You know, I know it can happen in baseball, but hockey, same thing. With an injury, you
sure
know, it could all of a sudden change your whole career, right? Just like that. So you want to try and lock yourself in as soon as you can to have something there. And plus, you know, it's not really that fun to move around and take your family from place to place. You know, I guess you get to experience living in a different city. But for me, it was never something I wanted to do. I wanted to put down some roots. So yeah, it is just a different dynamic, different cultures and stuff like that. But these guys are going signing, you know, $20 million deals. I can understand why they want to just go and bet on themselves to go and get another one the next year and the next year and hit a couple lotteries. So it's just different, you know, it's a different sport. It's really hard to compare the two. Like, I just saw was it today? LeBron James, two-year $97 million deal? Is that
absurd,
right? I don't, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's official or not. I heard it on the radio, but it's just a different animal. All the sports compared to hockey.
Yeah, it is. But to me, it just speaks to how good the Capitals have been at being able to stay competitive this long. Because in a salary cap sport, and the Penguins too. We got to give the Penguins credit for this period of time too. But for the Capitals to be this good from the time, basically before you even entered the league until now, missed the playoffs one time. It is absurd when you consider other teams and other dynasties and how fast it can fall apart.
Oh, it really is. And it's one of the things I think that goes into the thought during free agency, right, is you want to go to a team that's competitive. And if you can rely on an organization to do everything possible to be competitive, that's something that, you know, it checks a box for a lot of players. So it is very, very impressive. And it helps that you have the top two best goal scorer of all time, pretty much, on your team, and one of the best passers we've had in the game on the team. You know, those things definitely help the team be successful. But you know, you have to have great management, you have to have great ownership and coaches that are willing to find ways to win and not just, you know, let things kind of completely slide and fall apart and then tear it all down. So yeah, I mean, I've said this to everybody. It's an unbelievably well-run organization, and I think it's starting to be known a lot more around the league, and I'm very happy to see that, because the Caps and the area need to have a lot of credit.
Yeah, and even Alex last year, when he didn't have a contract, none of us were sitting around thinking like, oh, he's going to go play for the Kings, or he's going to go, like, we had never any doubt that he was going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it would be such a shock if that were to happen. I don't think that, yeah, crossed anybody's mind. So it's I think it says something to, like we said, the city and the organization, and he's got a pretty tight relationship with Ted. I think we all know that too. And yeah, so it's just not, I mean, Ovi is Washington. Washington is Ovi. It's I don't think it's ever going
to
change.
And as long as he's playing in the National Hockey League, the Capitals are going to be a competitive franchise. Thanks everybody for listening on All's Caps. Next week we will be joined by NBC Sports Washington's Brian McNally. Carl, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.